Our reading for today is from 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 24. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement, for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and to the widows I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am, but if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not be separated from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest, I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his life uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave to Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Hal Longshore, Hope Lutheran Church, Woodburn, Oregon.
In the name of Jesus, God calls people however they happen to be, whether single, married, widowed, construction worker, office manager, prostitute, or crook. Your present place or position in life becomes a place where you serve God by serving your neighbor. Divine mercy reaches out to people without regard to their moral quality or station in life. It's the nature of God's mercy in Christ to lift a person to a new plane, to a new regard of oneself in the light of that mercy. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul addresses what makes one suited to serve God. One notion peddled to the Corinthian Christians was that celibacy was superior to marriage. Paul, himself a celibate, assesses the consequences for the congregation. To set up celibacy as the ideal for the widowed or the unmarried, or to recommend that a Christian spouse separate from the unbelieving spouse, is to expose them to many sexual temptations. It runs contrary to the natural order. Man and woman are created for each other. Celibacy is a gift and the exception, which not all or even the majority possess. To insinuate, as happened in the Corinthian congregation, that the celibate might manage his sexual urges by prostituting himself violates the very order of marriage. Service to God does not depend on a self-chosen style of life like celibacy. Rather, it depends on one's relationship to Christ. Paul speaks of this as God's calling, an invitation not just to a new morality, but to a new life offered in Jesus Christ, the one who has taken on the deadly consequences of misusing one's sexuality or of abandoning one's spouse because of his or her unbelief for the sake of some self-imposed ideal. Baptism provides the great catalyst for our new life. It binds us to Christ, who has redeemed us in those conditions in which we find ourselves and in which we can love the neighbor. Whether circumcised, married, single or celibate, slave or free, our calling to serve God enables us to serve without changing our station in life. God has equipped us well for our present circumstance, whatever that may be. He has given us a corporeal existence. That is, we live, move, think, and encounter others through our tangible bodies. Life in this side of death is quite physical and tangible. Everything about us involves our body, including our sexual nature. We cannot get away from that. Today, no one is promoting the celibate ideal in our church. Our cultural propensity among the unmarried is to treat sex as casual and recreational, that is, sex without marital responsibility. That propensity includes the not uncommon practice of spouses cheating on their marital partners, whether believing or not, inevitably involving a sexual relationship. These temptations are today's reality, and members of the body of Christ are no less influenced by them. But the sins of our body have been crucified by Christ in his body. And more gloriously, by his resurrected body, Christ offers us a resurrected life in ours. That new life is freedom to brighten the corner where you are, to do for others as Christ does for you. Sex plays a significant role in marriage. It is in marriage that one exercises the love of Christ in the physical love of husband and wife. That one's partner may not be Christian in no way hinders serving God by loving the unbelieving spouse. One may well be a blessing to the non-Christian spouse, if not instrumental in his or her coming to Christ. As it turns out, our calling to serve God in Christ makes our lives quite versatile and useful, freeing us to focus attention on someone else and pursuing by whatever means the welfare of another person. We do not depend on some self-chosen ideal, but on the neighbor's palpable need. Our calling keeps us grounded in the child who skins his knee, in the parent who has suffered a stroke, in a person who's lost her job, or in someone who needs a patient ear. Responding to those needs, we respond to Christ. And for those who are in Christ, serving doesn't get much better than that. Lord, open our eyes to our neighbor's need, and attending to her need, help us to fulfill our calling in Christ. Amen.
We thank Pastor Hal Longshore for this meditation on God's Word.